Has gesehen, wie das so ist, aber ich habe noch mal gesehen, wie das so ist, weil ich habe gesehen, wie das so ist, aber so, die Gemara ist, dass ich kaufe die Schumayim, chutz mir die Schumayim, das ist total bukhir. Right? So the question is, what kind of tefillah won't help on that? Tefillah won't help, I mean, tshuva and everything is all totally under bukhir. It's absolutely, in regard to das, it's question, your premises are questionable in regard to das. First of all, question your premises. Is it true that God cannot give man the knowledge? I mean, so that outside of, this would be that outside the realm of possibility. I wouldn't say that. The question now. The question is, how could man ask God for a better brain if the potential of his brain is already predetermined? Okay. All right. So the answer is. Who says he's asking for a better brain? That's good. Good answer.
What?
So now the question is, insofar as developing the potential, how could man ask God for perfection? Right? Okay. What's the answer? Okay. So let's just like this: you're asking God for the situation in which the mind could be used to the greatest degree. We know that people, for instance, there are different situations that people really try very hard, but they don't come across the right forum, they don't come across the right rebbeim, they don't come across the right chaverim, so they simply don't achieve their potential. It's not just you want to do it, you can do it, but there's external circumstances as well. So therefore, what you're asking God for atachonin is the circumstances in which he can achieve the full potential. Right. Okay? What do you say about that? Another possibility too. In Atachalam Das, you could be asking about particular knowledge as well. Particular knowledge as well, not just perfection of the intellect. For instance, a person's learning a sugya and doesn't understand the sugya, so he could be asking God to help him with the particular knowledge. You see? Why? Not facts. In other words, that he should things like this. Again, yeah, what?
But what's stopping it from coming back? The emotions. Maybe he's asking God to remove those emotions.
Because even in a particular idea, there also are a lot of different situations which lend themselves to the solution. Isn't it true? I mean, a person is, let's say for instance, the man is overcome with anxiety or has problems or different things. I mean, found out that he might fail his college test or something. Something which might disturb him. So one of a free mind to think about the problem. There are always different particulars involved. I mean, how many times a person, is involved in thought? You sit down, you have 1 minute, sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden you think of the answer. Because the mind is in a relaxed state, and you're able to discover the idea. But if you don't have those particulars, or else different little particulars occur, so then you can't do it. So therefore, again, it involves certain particulars. There are particulars which are involved in a general way, and there's particulars which are involved in a specific way. But there's another benefit also from that. Also, see, the funny thing is that there's a direct benefit derived from the request itself. Why? Because that's one recognition of Hashgacha, and also, See, things like this. In tefillah, when a person expresses a desire, so the expression of the desire, that's why tefillah is a very funny thing. Why? And then you add this. Very funny thing. Why? Because most people feel, tefillah, pray to God. You just, ask God what you want. Right? In tefillah, there's so many halachas. I mean, just the opposite. The whole thing becomes like a specific form. It loses the whole, the whole subjectivity, the whole natural spontaneity. People look for spontaneity in prayer. I could ask God, and God knows what I want, and I don't have to even bother to talk to him. According to us, that's not tefillah, it's nonsense. Right? And when you ask God, you have to go with three brachas in the beginning, a brachas shelach, and then a specific form. You have the brachas and tzoyas, and when you can say it, and when you can't say it, there's brachas, a tefillah, it's tefillah, it's not a tefillah. All these things. If a person's not machaven to Magen Avraham, so lachas, tefillah is nothing. As a matter of fact, the whole big problem among the Achareinim. What happens if a person, halacha is really al-pidin, if a person is not machavim to Magen Avraham, so he has to daven al-shemon esrei over again. But then, the Achareinim say, this man is they shouldn't do it, because who knows, maybe he won't do it the second time well either, right? What happens if a person is in the middle of shemon esrei? Person daven, he's saying, atachon olam das, and he reminds himself that it wasn't machavim to Magen Avraham. Is he allowed to continue or not? And the stavar is he shouldn't be able to continue. she'd go back to the beginning, because there's all brachas Allah told us after that. All brachas Allah told us after that. That's mustava like that. Mustava, that's how she's read. Is a sign of Konan. I mean, without that, there's no tefillah. So that you already asked that.
And after
Magen Avraham, the Reb Chaim says that he has to know that he's on the Lifnei Hashem, but he doesn't have to know Pirush Milas. You see? So the thing is that if a person's in the Lifnei Hashem, it wasn't Mechamet Magen Avraham, to continue to be Brachas Vatolos. Why is it that way, really? Why is it that way? Let's just digress for a minute. Why is it that way? What are you thinking at? By the way, I mean, it's an interesting thing. All the tefillah, the main thing in tefillah is Bakasha, right? I mean, in terms of the way people look at tefillah, what they say, what's the essence of tefillah? Bakasha. And Bakasha is the 13 brachas and tzoyos. So why, I mean, is tefillah set up in such a way that if you have the Bakasha and you machav in the Bakasha, it's a brachah l'vatolos, brachah l'vatolos. However, you say to Magen Avraham and the rest of the night of Machavim, when it comes to Bakash, it's a good Shemayasa, a good Tefillah. Seems to me that the halacha is exactly the opposite of the way it should be philosophically. Right? What's the answer? You see, Chazal, as usual, Chazal saw it exactly the opposite of the way you know of known person days. To the known person, what's important? All those particular Bakashas. He should become wealthy, he should have health, he should have this, all his mishigas, he should have... That's the main thing in tefillah, right? That's the essence of tefillah. Now, it's also just the opposite. That's not the essence, that's just the essence. These accidents, asking for these things, is only a means of the essence of tefillah, which is recognition of God. You see? So therefore, in terms of recognition of God, there's a minimum. What's the minimum? The minimum is, I made lefnei Hashem, plus the definition of the first bracha. It's one idea. The essence, that's the minimal essence of recognition of God. It's a sheer and the minimal amount of recognition of God. So therefore, even if he doesn't know what he's asking for, you see, but he knows he's Oymed Lefnei Hashem, and also he knows the definition of the first bracha, because Oymed Lefnei Hashem just like this is not enough. You see, he has to have the definition of the first bracha. Because bracha is Bar Elam. All the hashgacha and the Kodesh Baruch Peniakel. Peniakel means create the universe, and then he relates to the universe. Those two ideas. That's the basic idea in the first. Bracha. So the bakashis are only a means to bring him to knowledge of God. So that's why even if he doesn't know any of the bakashis, he's Yetzir Shmanaseh. But if the reverse is true, if he doesn't have any recognition of God, they just ask bakashis, then it's not a waste of time. It's a little show. Bracha v'lotos. Exactly the opposite of the way people feel. Part of the when you say you need the kavana, the minimal amount of kavana for Magen Avraham, it means those ideas in Magen Avraham, those specific ideas. The Hashem says Kitzchok, there's not any specific ideas about God. He's preparing himself for Tfilah. It's part of Shemoneh Esrei. Preparation itself is a key in Shemoneh Esrei. But in terms of kavana, it means the ideas that are contained in Magen Avraham. You see? There's no. Okay. Now, what do I want to bring out? One more point. You see? So you see all these halachas and the whole system of how it has to be set up. Not just, there's a famous story of Chassid Shemaisa said that a person wanted to misspell the Kodesh Baruch Hu very much. They couldn't do it because they didn't know how to formulate the words. So what did they say? Minimize over there. Said the alphabet.
The alphabet.
It says, God, you put it together. You put the tool together.
Yeah.
Emotionally, it sounds very good, but halacha is nonsense. Why? Why is that so? Because you see, on the contrary, you see from tefillah that the way man, how does the Anshe Knesset like that, how does Chazal consider man relating to God? Always on an intellectual level. That's why, if it's always on an intellectual level, that's why tefillah has so many restrictions. If it's just emotions, what are the restrictions for? Why does the person just stand in the spot, just spur of the moment, just get up and play tefillah? You see? Can't do it. First it has to be organized like a formula. First Birkat Hasheva. It's a whole formula. So you see, it's a rational tefillah itself is completely rationalized. Completely rationalized. And if you miss one point this way, then the whole tefillah is bottled. It's all conceptual and it's all based upon halachic categories. It's not emotions. So on the contrary, if a person is just emotional, it's a waste of time, because the only way it relates to God is through knowledge and verbalization. If a person doesn't verbalize, a person feels in his heart, he has a tremendous desire to ask him for this, and God, it's not a tefillah, it's not nothing, it's just an emotion. It's an emotion, it's on the level of a behemoth, on the level of Adam. The level of Adam requires chituch hadibur, chituch bitus fasayim. Why? Because in bitus fasayim, you formulate logically your request. And when a person formulates logically his request, then this itself perfects him. For instance, if a person has a desire for knowledge, by the act of formulating the request for knowledge itself changes him in the sense that he comes to a realization of what his main goal is.
What is
The formulation. The formulation. The formulation. That's a thing to learn about. Halacha. That's one, I want you to know, that's one psychological truism that halacha insists upon. And that is that verbalization is the completion of the act of thinking. Thinking, it begins with an intuitive process. But the full logical formulation only takes place when it's objectified and verbalized. Or through writing it down. Writing down also good. That's why the halacha is the bracha, the birkas haTorah. When do you have to make birkas haTorah? On hero, you're not mechuyev in birkas haTorah. Most told, you're not mechuyev in birkas haTorah on hero. Just thinking about it. But verbalization, you're mechuyev, and writing down too. Why? Because writing down, it's not the speech, it's the reaching this level of perfection. So Rav Chaim used to say, if a person can't explain it, if a person can't verbalize it, that means he doesn't understand it. People say, no, I really understand, but I can't explain it to you. That means he does not, it lacks an understanding. Because if you really saw the ideas clearly, there's no reason why I couldn't put it into words. So the verbalization, tshuva also, the Rambam says in tshuva too. By tshuva he says, tshuva is not enough that a person just, the halacha is if a person decides, even without verbalization, it has been a tshuva. But the full tshuva is, sheyetzi b'sfasav, ma shechoshav b'liba, that's what the Rambam says. What? Why it is so? I want to analyze the premise. I just want to get back to this point. I don't come back to the premise. But the point remains, and so far as Tfilah is concerned, that's why Tfilah is only through Dibor. But one of the ways that turn it to Yisrael, one of the members of Islam, is Arichas Hasayim. So the speech. So that the... So therefore, when the person formulates logically his request, the request becomes a different request. He sees what he's asking in a different way. This way it's just an emotion. When he formulates this, maybe it's a stupid request. Or if it's an intelligent request, then on the contrary, then the emotions become more in line with the request. And he directs his energy to that area when he sees it's rational. So therefore, by speech, he improves. Speech is when he rationalizes his request. If it's stupid, he has a chance at least to see it's stupid. And if it makes sense on the contrary, so then his emotions will go along with it. So therefore, Atah Chan Lalam Das is something which benefits the person. Why? Because through verbalization of the request, he realizes the importance of Das. Yeah. And therefore raises him to a higher level. So actually, Tfilah is two things. First of all, in regard to his relationship to God, that's number one, you see. And two, the particular things that are important. It directs his emotions to those things. It perfects man by directing his emotions to the proper area. But you see from halacha that this idea is correct, because you see the main key in Tfilah is not the nonsensical things that he has. But the main key in Tfilah is understand Hashem. And if he has that, he's Yetzer Tfilah. If he doesn't have that, it's nothing. No, on the contrary, it shouldn't be Yetzer. Now, if you tell me, you see, this is a good point you just mentioned. The question was asked before. He says, let's say, for instance, a person says to Magen Avraham, he doesn't know what each word means, but he knows the basic idea and he verbalizes. Would he be Yetzer, would he not be Yetzer? It's a good question. What does it revolve around? It revolves around this particular point. In other words, when a person understands the words that he's saying, what each word means, so then we could say there's a relationship between his intellect and between the verbalization. But this way, could possibly be the relationship isn't great enough. It's true, there's verbalization plus ideation. You see? But the connection between the two is weak because he doesn't really see the relation between the two. Question is, if he's Yetzer, is that enough of a level of verbalization to be Yetzer? You see what I mean? In other words, let's say, for instance, a person says to Magen Avraham, right? He doesn't know what each particular word means. Right, but he knows the ideas. So what is the Shaila? Is he Yetzer or is he not? He asked the question for us. Howie. Yeah. How would you formulate the question? What's the question? What's it based upon? That's right. The question is, did he reach the proper level of verbalization? Because what is verbalization? Verbalization ordinarily means, well, I know what each word means. So therefore my mind knows that this word means this. So therefore the relationship between the ideas and the words are exact. But if it's just a general thing, so I have an act of verbalization, but in a secondary process of thinking while I'm verbalizing. So it's better than not verbalizing at all. But the question is this enough of a level to be eight? That's a good question. That's a good question. That's a good question. Because see, it must be through an act of verbalization, because verbalization is the final process, is the finalization of the thinking process in man. So therefore, if it's not verbalized, it's nothing. That's why it's still a muscle verbal. That's why I say, because it lacks in verbalization if it doesn't know every word. You see? It lacks in the theory of the relationship between the verbal and the mental. It's just a general relationship, but it's not a specific one. That's the difference. Yeah. Rav one time mentioned that a person should at least know what each bracha is about. At least think of what the bracha is about for at the time that he davened. So it would seem that he held that that's enough. But you see what the question is, regardless of what the pesach is. I don't know if anybody brings down anything. But you see what the question is. The question is the level of relationship between verbalization and ideation. There's a minimal level where it's general, and then there's a specific level. Specific level is certainly far greater. Certainly far greater. The whole purpose of the formulation of Tfilah by Chazal was to bring the person to the full level of realization. And the full level of realization was worked out scientifically. Each step is worked out that this is the level. So the person just goes, thank you, that's not enough. I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's not enough. It's not the full level. The whole Tfilah is a formula which is worked out very painstakingly. The Gemara says that may of the Esrim Anan Shaknesh Devil Bahem Kamanavim Tikni Tfilah. It wasn't just done haphazardly. Tfilah was put together precisely with a tremendous amount of effort by Nevi'im and by Chachmei Yisrael of the highest caliber. The Rav one time mentioned, why does he want to say Bahem Kama Nevi'im? He says, because the level of Chachmei and Tfilah was such that without Nevi'im they couldn't do it. Without Nevi'im they couldn't do it. So everything was put together precisely. You see, I mean, Yadus, this is Yadus again. You see the essential characteristic of Yadus. That Tfilah isn't just a thing. A person wants to ask God, right? It's a whole formula. It's a whole formula. It goes against the emotions. Because the emotions say just ask God. You see, over here we say no. If it's not done this way, this formula doesn't follow it, it's not Tfilah. And the essence of Tfilah isn't even a request. The request is just accidental, just a means. And Hashiveinu Avinu Sarasecha as well. And Hashiveinu, that answers the question of Hashiveinu Avinu Sarasecha. We raised the question before. Why does a person ask for tshuva? And tshuva is totally in his hands. So the answer is, first of all, the particulars, right? But there has to be a rational basis for the request, you see? In other words, that God arranges the particulars in a way that he's in the best position. But Derech Shodom writes to Leilach Malichin, I say. That's what the Masha answers, and he's right. But Derech Shodom writes to Leilach Malichin, I say. The pshat is, the Chazal say, "B'derech she'adam rotza leilech malichin asa." The way a person wants to go, that's the way they direct them. That God means a kaddish bracha. So yeah. Now it's lashon kavod. So the thing is that what does it mean b'derech she'adam rotza leilech malichin asa? It means that the hashgacha changes with the person's will. So the person's will is that he wants to go on the correct path. So then a Kaddish Baruch Hu designates the specifics to a system. You see? That's Hashgacha Pratiyus. So therefore, by asking for the... First of all, the request is based upon asking for the particulars. But even more, the formulation of the request changes the person, because the formulation brings him to the total recognition that this is really an important thing. You see? That's really the essence. Okay. Nasa Nishma is the next subject. Go ahead. The question was that Natsav and Ishma would imply that a person should do things even though he doesn't understand it, which implies that you do actions without reason, right? Okay. Now, what's the answer? Avi, what was your answer? Well, your answer solved that problem. In other words, you can't go in between. Either you're going to agree that you do things without reason, in which case we're no different than any other nations who also follow religion without reason. There's no reason for it, just follow the stupidities. Right? Or no, we're different. So call ourselves different. So then we do things without reason, so then we're also the same way.
Well, the reason is because you don't understand it, I'm saying. How do you know the answer? So therefore you have a reason.
I don't care if it isn't to the mitzvah. No, you have a reason. You know that it's the best thing. You know God gave the mitzvah, right? So you know it's the best thing.
But you don't see why this specifically is.
Oh, who cares? But you have a reason. You know it's for the best reason.
That doesn't explain it at all.
That's enough of that.
The question is, the mistake in the question is that you're confusing two types of knowledge, exactly. Two types of knowledge. When they said Nasa Venishma, on the contrary, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Nasa Venishma. Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Nasa Venishma. We're not just going to listen to anything. But if we see that it's the words of Hashem, then we will do it. Why will we do it? We will do it because we know. Since we know it's from God, so therefore we know that it's true, so therefore we know it's beneficial. Now the question is, in each particular case, why did God see fit that? Why does God's knowledge dictate that this mitzvah is beneficial and that mitzvah is beneficial? And each one of the tayag is beneficial to lead a person to the best life. That is nishma. That's the mitzvah of understanding it. You see, of understanding that itself is perfection, understanding how to do it. But even before he knows the particular benefit. He knows he has to do it because he knows it's beneficial. Just like the example of Leslie gave. The physician. When you go to a physician, if you go to a person, you don't even know he's a physician, just knocking on the nearest door, you go over and ask him for advice, that's a fool. That's a filthy shaita. Right? But if a person knows through knowledge that this man has medical knowledge, so knowledge teaches him that he knows what he's talking about, then knowledge dictates that he listens because it's beneficial. He might not know how the particular prescription is beneficial. That's the second thing. That's what we mean in Ishma. But he knows that it is beneficial. Otherwise, he can't do it. Nasa is based upon the fact that God said it. Since God said it, we know that this is true. Now the question is in particular how it works. So on the contrary, Yadda says it's not enough just to know that it's beneficial and do it. But Nishma is mechuyav to understand that it's beneficial. Why the Rambam says in one of his Ivrei, I think the Gaz Tamar, that the proof of Torah Mishnah must be taught in every yeshiva, in every place. Yeah, Rambam says it. He says the Kuzri mentions most of it, you know, but it's not formulated. Surely something was known, it was over the door. All the Rishonim knew it. It's simple, it's Aleph base. So Ram doesn't have to spell it out. I mean, it's a simple thing. The only thing is that due to our ignorance, sounds like it's menacing because we're raised in the wrong way. But the Ram says every generation's mechuyah to teach the proof of Torah Mishnah, the basis of Torah Mishnah. He says because we're not like other nations that just carry down nonsense and then without any reason just do things. But we are our religion. Yeah, this is based on Torah Mishnah. It has a basis, a foundation. That was the whole purpose of Sinai. What part of Sinai? Ram Yad HaChazaka says that the Jews didn't accept Moshe until Sinai. Sinai was the proof until they didn't accept him. So how could God ask us to do something that he wouldn't ask them to do? Ram says in Yad HaChazaka, Perek Shmini in Hilcha Yisrael Torah. Perek Shmini Hilcha Yisrael Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Lo Yaminu Bo Yisrael Mimnei Oseh She'asa. They didn't believe in miracles in Yam Sahol, those miracles. She'amam in Api Oseh Yesh Belibay Defi. He has foolishness in his heart. But it's possible it should be deception. It should be done through deception. All the oises that he did in the Midbar were only necessary at the time. Because necessity dictated. That's why he didn't do it to prove to the Jews about God. It was just done for necessity. Not to bring a raya, not to bring a proof that the Nevuah is true. What did they believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? The Maimar Har Sinai. She'einenu ro'u v'loi zor. V'oznenu shamu v'loi acher. Ha'eish v'akoylois v'alapidim. V'hu nigash el ha'rofel, v'akol medaber elov, v'onu shoymim, Moshe Moshe, leich emor lehem kach v'kach. V'kach ho'emer, ponim b'ponim dibra reshem yimochem. V'nema, lo yasa v'asini karasa reshem asa bris ha'zeis. But I mean, not this time, because it was forever and ever, the proof, the best proof. U'minayin shemaymer ha'sine levada hi ha'raya. How do you know that only maymer ha'sine is the proof? L'nevuasa shi emes, shein b'yedefi, shenema, hinei anechi bo'elecho ba'av he'onon, ba'avur yishma ha'om b'dabri imach v'gam b'chor yaminu lo'ilom. Of course, b'chor doesn't mean a Moshe. B'chor means that b'chor means not in Moshe himself, but that whatever Moshe says is the word of God, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts him. Meklal shekoyim dover zeh lo yaminu b'ynei monas shehi emetes lo'ilom elu monas sheyesh acharei hiru v'machshava. So maybe, could be, chances, you know, but it's not definite. The Ram, as a matter of fact, goes so far as to say in the end, he says, even Nevi'im, we don't know if they're a Navi. Lefikach, he says, im omar ha-Navi v'otso oishas ha-maifsim gedolim u-bikesh, just a minute. Oh, here it is, in Halacha Beis, it says, nimtzas aymer. So it comes up from this, shekol Navi sheyamayt acha maish Rabbeinu. Every Navi that arises after Moshe Rabbeinu, ain ano ma'aminim b'nei ois levadai. We can't believe the ois is a Navi, that he's really a Navi. Kadesh ne'imam yasa ois nishmalai l'chol ma'ashe yema. That an ois is going to prove that he's definitely right. You see? Elo mipnei ha-mitzvah shetziva Moshe b'teira v'omar nasan ois eila tishmon. That's why. That's right. He says it's every Navi that we listen to, we don't believe he's a Navi because of the ois. Because the ace doesn't prove anything. The only reason we believe him is because Moshe says in his Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah, that if a person does an ice, that Elof Tishmon, you should listen to him. K'moshe tzivanu lachteich hadavar al pishnayim edim. Just like Allah is, you have two edim come and say this person is a murderer, he's chayav misa, Bezdin kills him. Vafa pishen on the yoidim in ha'idu emes and shekel. Maybe they're geniuses. It's true, that's an hedgehog. I mean, the Chav Bezi Shachav Gimel is tremendous minds, and they interrogate the yoidim with the strictest scrutiny, but nevertheless, maybe the guy's a tremendous genius. He slips through, it's possible. The yoidim could slip through. It happened. The Gemara says it happened. So he says, even though we don't know whether it's true or it's false, kach mitzvah l'shmaya mizeh navi. That's the same mitzvah to listen to this navi. Afal pisha ain't on a yoidim imo ois emes or the kish of Allah, we don't know. That's why this is lefikach. Therefore, im omad hanavi v'osa ois eis and moifsim gedolim. And Navi said, he did tremendous moifsim. Ubikesh lahakish nevuasa sham Moshe Rabbeinu. And want to deny Moshe Rabbeinu's war. Ain shaman loy. V'on a yoidim bebiur sha ois and ois eis belot the kish of him. Yafisha nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu ain't
alpiyas. If he's a nice, then you have an idiot.
Exactly right. Yafisha nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Ain't all pi oisays kadesh narech oisay zeh la oisay zeh. That will say, look, Moshe Rabbeinu's oisays were this much, and this Navi's oisays are that much. We'll equate the two and say who's better. So that's not, there's no comparison. Not comparison. Ela beinenu roinuha ubozneinu shemanuha kemoshe shamahu. Holamah hadavar deme leedim sheidu l'adam al davar shirah beino. Just like Edom will testify about something you saw with your own eyes. Sheena kemoshe ra. Just like if Edom will come along and they'll testify that you didn't daven this morning, and you know you did. So you're going to believe the Edom? You know yourself, so you did it? He says, Amoteresh in bo ois on my face, le fishmal divrayanaveahu. Shareza boilecha bois in my face, lahakish mashareisa beinecha. This guy's coming with the ISIS to deny what you saw with your own eyes. Vahayo veinanamamin in my face, element neha mitzvahis shetziva moshe. So it comes out that this Rambam, of course, will pose a big problem to Citizen Bread. Sound being produced with rational statements that was inhuman. This is an impossibility. Other phenomena possible occur. Different possibilities, physical phenomena. Yeah, that's an impossible. It's a situation in which this is totally impossible to reproduce. Nobody can reproduce that situation. Every one of the oisis that happened in Mitzrayim is something that could occur through a natural phenomenon. It wasn't a breach in the laws of nature. There was nothing that occurred in Mitzrayim that's a breach in the laws of nature. As a matter of fact, all the Rishonim say, people today say, they say, what is the riot from the Mitzrayim? They try to explain it according to physical phenomena. Of course, even power wouldn't have been such a fool as to think if suddenly Mitzrayim is inundated with Arba, suddenly Mitzrayim is inundated with Arba, that this means that there's a God. What's that to do with it? This happens a lot of times. So what? What's that to do with it? The whole thing was the predictability of Moshe Rabbeinu. the prediction, the fact that he said it's going to happen at this time, and he told them exactly when, and exactly when it's going to be removed. That was it. That was an aid. Ah, but even that isn't enough. Even that isn't enough for the simple reason that it's possible for a person to somehow, we see many different instances. We see, for instance, extrasensory perception. People can predict certain occurrences. It's true. This has happened. It's recorded history. It's recorded. So therefore, this itself is not a 100% proof. But Maimer HaSinai was a phenomena which is completely a suspension of the laws of nature. It cannot be explained according to the laws of nature. It cannot. You have to deny your senses. You have to deny your senses. You have to deny your senses. In other words, you're going to have to deny all your senses, right? Because then you're going to have to maintain that everything you see, maybe it's a deception, right? Isn't that true? Is that true? Oh, so therefore, we have to say like this. So therefore, anything in history that has ever occurred, you could always say maybe it was a deception, right? Ah, so we say that just like you accept this, just like you accept these things, you have to accept this. Of course a person can question his senses. We don't say a person can't question his senses, but we say insofar as a person, that's right, insofar as you accept reality, you have to accept this reality too. Of course, the guy said, I don't believe anything. He doesn't accept any senses, anything at all. Right? And the person says, look, you saw a guy get killed by a car, saw 1,000 guys, it's just a deception. That's possible. But you can't live according to that possibility. The person lives according to that possibility. Any person, let me put it this way, any person that lives according to the possibility that everything is a deception is definitely Pachim Kalam Mitzvahs. Because there's a category for that, a Shaita. Okay. What is magic? Basically, magic is a tremendous thing. It's a tremendous science, not just a little bit. But of course, it's not like they one time had all pulled together all of them scientists and see if they can figure out the truth. Figure out how it works. Because what it does is it correlates. Takes advantage of imaginary cause to an effect. Because the mind is trained to look for cause and effect. So in a certain way. So it takes on the accidental characteristics of the relationship between cause and effect, and therefore you assume that's the cause. That's what it is. That's deception. But not everything serves a deception. There's a limitation, but within deception doesn't mean that it's limitless. It's crazy. It means that everything could be done without the point of view. You wouldn't need any inventions. You make a television like this. You make a microphone just like that. Of course, limited reality. It's limited. There's a certain limitation to these phenomena, to deception. A certain limitation, nearly within which it works, because it operates under the laws of reason. But Maimer HaSinai is beyond that. Maimer HaSinai is an incident which is beyond that.